This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up. The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Hey everybody, it's Jim Mallard here. Welcome to the Mallard Report. The Mallard Report is recorded in front of a live virtual audience on the Duck Pond. Tuesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, live. Mallard.com. M-A-L-L-I-A-R-D.com. One more thing before we start. Let me turn it over to my friend that you may know from Ancient Aliens and the Curse of Oak Island and many other things, Robert Clotworthy.
On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed on the show are solely those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily of Evergreen Podcasts, KillerPodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group. On the Mallard Report, the views, thoughts, and opinions expressed in the show are solely those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily of Evergreen Podcasts, KillerPodcast.com, sponsor or affiliate, or any other individual or group.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the Mallard Report this evening. So, my guest is going to be jumping on here in the next few minutes, maybe up to 10. So, got a little housekeeping to do. We try to do this once in a while. First and foremost, I've got a few news stories I want to get to because there are some things that I was going to talk about tonight, but my guest is not versed in them, so we're not going to talk about them. The first guest took the month off and didn't tell his publicist, so that went away. Then I had another guest slated to talk about the Georgia Guidestones, and something bumped up in his schedule, so we're down to our third guest, which is not making her any less important. This is going to be exciting tonight. New topic tonight for her. So I'm excited, because we just talked a little bit about an hour ago about it. Okay. 2 hours ago. Sorry. First and foremost, if you have not taken the time to subscribe, do that. Okay, leave reviews. For those of you on the Duck Pond tonight, wave goodbye to the current format of the Duck Pond. It'll be different, hopefully, next week. More, I don't want to say user-friendly, because it's probably not going to be user-friendly, but it's going to be a better look for the podcast people. We'll see. We'll see how it all works out, but it's going to look a little different. I've got some changes that I've got to make, well, that I want to make. But anyways, not diving too deep into that because I want you to come check it out. If you haven't been to Mallard.com, well, like I said, the next week it's going to change again, so you need to do that. Okay, so the Georgia Guidestones. What the world happened there? Right? I've seen the footage of them apparently being blown up, but there's got to be footage before that of somebody setting the explosive. Right? So we need that footage. We need to know what's going on. It's an interesting thing. It is an interesting phenomenon. Now, why would they blow them up now? I mean, there's a whole bunch of questions, and I don't have any answers. So we'll probably be talking about them and their destruction in the coming months. Just was going to talk about tonight, like I said, and it just didn't work out that way. So be prepared for that conversation about the Georgia Guidestones. It's coming. I just don't know when, because, like I said, it was supposed to be tonight. But maybe by the time it comes out, maybe we'll have more answers instead of more questions. But that's never the answer, right? For those folks who've listened to the show for a long time, you know there's always more questions than answers, and we will continue to ask the questions that make you want to ask more questions. That being said, okay, listen to this. For the idiot, and I mean idiot, I'm looking directly at my camera right now, for the idiot on Facebook who decided to put a copyright claim in on my intro music, I have news for you. You do not own it, you've never owned it, and you'll never own it. If you didn't notice, it's for the Mallard Report. It's custom made. You dumbass. Sorry. I've been fighting that for a couple days. Had to say it. Straight up and down. Like, come on now. Just like the idiot that cut the intro music out of the show and reposted it as his own podcast. What is wrong with you, lazy mother? Oh, boy. Yeah, there was a guy who was posting my show as his own podcast. I almost got invited on his show. That would have been awesome. No, the artist didn't claim it. Some random idiot copyright striked it, because the artist, I know the artist. Yeah. Wait, I'll be proven wrong about what? I'm not sure. I hate to be wrong about things. I mean, I've been wrong about a lot of things, but... Anyways, so just keep that in mind. Like, Okay. Stupid. Makes the world go round. Okay, so we talked about the Georgia Guidestones. We talked about the stupid. Now let's talk about the real stupid. We've kind of slid from funny to bad to worse. I think we're doing the good, the bad, the ugly tonight. I don't know. I think it's probably copyrighted, so I probably can't do that. So you're just going to have to make your own little saying up. No copyright infringement applied there. I was just making a reference to a well-known, established understanding of life. Okay. You ready for this? Here it comes. Comes from the AP. AP News, July 10th, Crestview, Florida. Florida man, of course, right? Because anybody who knows, knows. Those who don't know, need to look this up, because, I mean, it's a big deal. Florida man, it's kind of one of those things that kind of just always pops up. Ready? What did Florida man do? Let's turn to the duck pond. What did Florida man do? But maybe catch this story and wants to talk about. What is going on? What did Florida man do to catch my attention? Let's see if anybody was paying attention to the news. Maybe I'm the only one that caught its attention. Oh boy. Why did my internet just go blank? So if you said something in the chat room, I literally can't see it right now, because that's also helpful. Ugh, good grief. Just tried to call me. It went to voicemail. What is going on with my internet connection? All right, well, we're dropping that. All right, what's going on? We're just going to drop that. Sorry, video folks, you're going away. How the nature of the beast rules them. No. Idiot. Okay, so, yeah, I'm not exactly sure what's happening here. We're going to have some fun with some technical problems here. What in the freak? Yeah, I don't know exactly know what's going on right now. I'm not even sure I'm going out. Got some major lag in the internet. So here we go. Here, it might be back. Sorry for those who may have been tuning into the video, because it just died. Okay. So, let's see if I can... Okay, chatters, let's see if anybody had the guess here. Okay, well, I'm going to get to the story here, because my guest is trying to call in too. So, Florida man flees deputies on his riding lawn mower. Let me know if you had that on your bingo card for 2022. For whatever reason, I don't know. Let's see. Okay. We'll do it this way. See if it works. See if this works. This will be exciting. Oh, it's ringing, so that'll be good. Okay.
Hello?
Hello, sorry about that. My internet was acting really funny there for a minute, so, yeah, well, there you go.
No worries at all. Hello, are we live? Are we
of course
on
we're live, so say everything you wanted to say about everybody earlier.
What?
Leave them in suspense. Well, how are you doing tonight? Besides, I think you melted a few more inches down from the last time I talked to you a couple hours ago.
Oh, yeah. No, I have been working quite hard tonight. Everything is great. Everything is great on my end. Thanks so much for having me on this evening.
So for those who don't recognize the voice, it's Dr. Rebecca Housel, self described pop culture professor, New York Times best-selling editor, blogger, professor, speaker. Just go check out our website because I feel that's only part of it.
Yes, hypnotherapist and life coach right now. So, yeah, and I'm just maybe a year or two away from finishing up the neuropsychology degree. So, here you go.
Yeah, like I said, it felt like I was leaving some of it off, but that's quite unhelpful to start with. So, so earlier today, you were telling me about something, and I had the opportunity to bring on because of, well, unfortunate events that my guest canceled, so it all worked out. But I want to jump off and kind of catch the audience up on the conversation we had about dark empathy, because I find that fascinating, and I think well, obviously, you know my listeners, so they'll be interested in that too.
Yeah, well, hey to Jim's listeners. I know a lot of you. I just wanted to say hi to everybody. I'm so happy to be back on with you. And so I have a couple of podcasts now, but one of them that some of you might be interested in is called How to Be a Better Sociopath. That is trademarked. And it's a new podcast. It's been out for about a month plus now. And it's not about teaching you how to be a better at sociopathy. It's about teaching you how to recognize the inherent sociopathic traits that we all have now via our higher contact with technology. And Jim and I were talking about this. You and I were talking about this, right? That higher contact with technology and how that's creating kind of a scenario of rejection on a regular basis. And that kind of rejection, that's like a mass scale rejection, that's partially responsible for things like mass shootings and increased teen suicides. And so that's all coming from an evolving sociopathy. And so this podcast focuses on that. And what you're referring to, the dark empaths, that's research I was referring to in a previous episode where I was discussing research from Nottingham Trent University in UK, where they were discussing the evolution of sociopathy in the 21st century and how it has created a whole new strain where people who are typically considered empaths will feel your feelings, and if you're sad, they'll feel sad as well. They'll recognize you're feeling it, and they'll also take on some of that sensation themselves, whereas the dark empath simply recognizes it only to exploit you further.
Yeah, I was going to say, the dark part of this comes, and we're going to dive a little bit more into this because this is where it gets fascinating, and may even try to cause the sadness or the depression or whatever else, which fascinates me because, I mean, that's so counterintuitive to everything we believe on the spiritual side of things, you know, trying to lift people up and all that other fun stuff, but the other side of that coin that is just fascinating.
It is, and just for your listeners, just for their background, sociopathy isn't an actual diagnostic term. It's sort of a pop psych term. It really represents psychopathy, so it comes from a category within the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, the DSM-5, and it's called Cluster B. Cluster B traits are the social destroyers, and they're connected to very distinct personality disorders. Those personality disorders include psychopathy or antisocial personality disorder, narcissistic personality disorder, which is narcissism, and then, of course, there's borderline personality disorder as well, which includes lots of traits like a fear of abandonment with a simultaneous fear of engulfment. So it's like living in a constant state of conflict and feeling as though everyone around you is basically a frenemy. And at any moment, you may feel slighted and burst into a rage.
So Germantown Runner, I'm sure you're familiar with Germantown Runner. Pops up a question. How does one deal with the presence of psychic/energy vampires, which also probably falls into this dark empathetics category of things?
I love you, Dave. Yes, this is great. This is exactly what people that have cluster B traits and personality disorders, they are, in fact, energy vampires, not because they're a dark empath. The term dark comes from dark triad. That describes the three traits, the three main traits that are interchangeable in all of the cluster B personality disorders. The researchers at Nottingham Trent University in 2020 published this beautiful study that wanted to create not just a dark triad, but expand that to a dark tetrad. They wanted to include sadism, which is part of bullying. So that's really where bullying comes from. So to answer Dave's question, the whole point of people doing these things to hurt others is to get what's called supply. So that's the energy vampire aspect. Yeah. They want you to be dysregulated. They want you to be upset. They want you to love drama, because that creates emotional, whether it's, you know, someone being sad, angry. They just want you to orbit them, and it doesn't matter if you know, it's good attention or bad attention. But bad attention is just as good, sometimes better, than good attention, because you get a lot of supply from that.
So if I normally work the show backwards, right, because I normally try to end with the fevered pitch. Now I feel like I'm trying to work forwards now, back to the point where we should have started the show, but now we're just gonna go with it now. now that I've realized that I kind of, you know, slammed the middle of our conversation at the beginning of the show, now we've got to kind of build backwards, but there's some good context of all of this stuff, and there's going to be some good nuance here that we've kind of laid that out. Okay, so you mentioned bullying. Now, I've got an interesting question for you on that. Because I think there's a certain level, a certain endorphin release when somebody does good. I'm assuming the same, but not necessarily the same, is true when somebody raises hell, for the lack of a...
Well, so people that... So at the root of all cluster B personality disorders and frankly all the traits therein is a deep, deep insecurity. It's fear. And fear comes from our ego. We don't want to look bad. We're afraid to look bad. We're afraid. Shame is the biggest enemy of those with cluster B personality traits and disorders. So, you know, public shame. So if you're in a relationship with somebody that has these traits, a prevalency of them in particular, they will care more about the neighbor across the street than they will about looking good for that neighbor, than looking good in front of you. They won't care about you in that way. And they won't see it as a problem, because you're their wife, their husband, whatever it is, you're supposed to be there. But everybody else, they can act a lot nicer towards. So because of public shame, they don't want to be seen in a bad light. It doesn't matter if you see them in a bad light, because you're like basically equivalent to a piece of furniture. There's a massive disconnect, and that is actually part of it. So emotional containment is connected to this narcissistic aspect in people.
Ooh, so now we're, like, again, I told you we're working backwards through this, because now you mentioned the neighbors, right? And I asked you a very niche-based question earlier, but let's broaden it out a little bit, about how we're losing community engagement within our own communities. Because I mentioned churches to you, but now that I think about it, I think about, like, the fraternal clubs, the veterans groups. Like, everywhere I turn, people are having the problem of getting people new members. Even like the YMCA, you know what I'm saying? Like, these traditional staples of community have been, well, we were talking about being replaced online, which obviously has its own issues, but to finish out the thought we were talking about, how easy it is to draw that dark energy, if you're in an online community, it is definitely easier to be dark, and then we'll get back into the real-world problems of community. Does that sound fair?
Oh, my. Yeah, no, absolutely. And you're totally right. Technology makes it easy to be an a-hole, which we talked about earlier, too. That, like, that sense of, you know, there's no consequences because you're not really facing someone when you're talking to them. You have a little bit of, like, you can hide behind Facebook. You can hide behind Twitter. You can hide behind TikTok or whatever it is that you're using. Instagram, you know, the falseness, the artificial aspects of those platforms, it got to a stage before the pandemic where people were using YouTube studios to create false settings like private planes, tropical islands, so that it would look like they were in those spaces. So there's this sense of FOMO that's been increasing, a fear of missing out. We just have a lot of strange aspects. And since the pandemic, we have all spent a lot more time with technology. You know, Zoom meetings became regular. Working remotely, that's totally normal now. So our technology, our contact with it has really, really increased over the last 2 years. So our narcissism, by no small coincidence, has also increased. So part of the podcast is that I'm working on now is to help people to recognize it and not feel like they're a monster or something. You're just a person if you have these traits. And you can actually learn the skills to sort of mitigate these kind of tendencies that come out more when we have higher contact with technology. There's a treatment called dialectical behavior therapy. And one of the best ways that we can handle people that are coming at us with that dark energy, as you say, is to use something called GIVE. In DBT, which was started by someone named Dr. Marsha Linehan in the 80s, who herself had borderline personality disorder and became a psychology researcher so that she could figure it out for herself. You know, how can we help people like me? And so part of how you do that is by learning the skills. It's basically understanding that you don't have anything to be insecure about, that everybody is on equal footing when it comes to social stuff, really, and how you can be a more effective communicator, no matter who you are, is by using GIVE, being gentle, being interested, validating others and their efforts, and then being easygoing. And that's one of the first episodes of my podcast that I talked about that, GIVE. It's really something that totally diffuses those who come from that dark space. You can recognize them just because you can. Are they using GIVE? You can't have a conversation with somebody that's not using GIVE. And so when they're not using it, you can see that there's a person that has some of these traits, and then you can take a step back and detach.
So let's peel that onion back to now we're at the community level, but we're talking about the in-person level. I know on some level, the life is getting back to normal, whatever normal is. I threw some big air quotes for those. Well, there's no video right now, so you missed those. But, but I mean, this community engagement issue is a real issue, especially for, like I said, these historic organizations that have done a lot of good for a lot of, you know, the YMCA and all their basketballs and swimming. And, you know, like, there's a lot of good that, I mean, even the vets organizations, I mean, that has had their own help by recreating that brotherhood they lost. But with that community inside the communities going away, how do we create
community?
Yeah, how do we create community? A real, I mean, it's like I said, the Duck Pond's a great community. But, well, it's a great community. Don't get me wrong, folks. Don't hate me for saying this. It's not a tangible thing in the community. Like, you can't go hang out there.
Right. And that is something that, because of COVID, it's still a struggle, because COVID still exists. And, you know, even with vaccinations, of course, we all know this now, that you can and probably will still get COVID. And not just that you'll get it if you're younger and you're healthy, you'll be all right. It's similar to now. It seems like a lot of the variants just kind of manifest as like a cold or a bit of a flu. But ultimately, you know, it can still hurt others. Millions of people died around the world. So, you know, it's something that we still have to be cautious of. And that's part of why these organizations are struggling at this time, but also, of course, people don't want to leave their homes, and they've become very comfortable in those spaces, and doing online communities have become very important. So it's not the same. And you're right. How do we reclaim that? That's a great question. I think part of how we would start that is by looking at our own corners of the world and looking to our own communities and finding niches where we can rebuild. It's basically going to be about rebuilding. So maybe those organizations like the Y, like even, say, going to a house of worship, whatever that might be, it's difficult to go to those spaces now with COVID. But even if – and also I want to say this is also another framework here. I know that you're located in Pennsylvania, and I think that in other parts of the country – it's not quite the same. Like if you were to go to a YMCA in, say, Florida or Georgia, you'd see like a lot of people. So there's still, I think it's very much state by state with this situation. So some states, some of your listeners in other states might be saying, we got plenty of people here. Like you'd be shocked if you went anywhere where there's like an outdoor festival in like a warmer climate. These festivals are all over the South are just packed. I mean, just packed. So people are community is still happening. It just may not be happening in certain areas, the Northeast in particular, you know, states like Pennsylvania that are connected to New York and some, I think you're connected to New York on some level, right? Like,
yeah, you're our northern neighbor.
Yeah, yeah, that's what I mean, like, yeah, I don't know, I'm not very good with, I guess, the Northeast, but I should be. Okay, who is absolutely not wanting a denial moment right there.
Well, you're lucky we're not playing Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, that's all that matters.
Because the answer would be no. Ask me about psychology and I'm in.
Yeah, I was going to say, you have your strong points, that's for sure. Okay, but... But I think on some level, okay, here we go. So on some level, rebuilding sounds easy, right? I mean.
No, it's hard.
But
it's really hard.
Yeah, a Germantown Runner popped this up in the chat room, and I'm going to paraphrase it because it went by really fast, about how the younger generation, you know, will go out to eat with their peers and spend the whole time on their phone. So that, I mean, it's not even. Okay, so they are in the community, right? But they're still remaining in their community.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. I think that that's just part of a cultural shift and different experiences. It's more experiential for, you know, Gen Z and younger millennials. So the millennials that are still in their 20s and Gen Z who are, you know, teens and early 20s now. So yeah, I just think it's just a cultural shift that way, and it has absolutely been influenced by the pandemic. But remember, things like Pride still happened this year in many, many places. So there is still those spaces that are happening. It's just that I think the modes, the vehicles, like the Y, things like that might be suffering a little bit. I know that gyms have taken a hit. In the last 2 years, same kind of concept as the Y. You know, so I think that it's just about a cultural shift that the pandemic kind of pushed along maybe a little sooner than some of us who, you know, are used to that lifestyle of going to the gym, going to the Y, you know, going and doing pickup basketball or, you know, even something like the JCC is similar to the Y and it has plays and book signings and there's all this great stuff, but you know, it's just a different world now, so everybody has had to adjust, and I think that we'll see it kind of make a return, but we really do need to see some stronger therapeutics that are going to be less toxic to people overall, and we need to see some improved vaccination, and then maybe these spaces like you're talking about will see an uptick.
Oh boy, you must be psychic because this question wasn't gonna. This question,
you know,
was,
I am.
This question wasn't gonna fit until the last line of your answer, and then you had me flip the answer to the questions I was gonna ask you. Also, this one's from Germantown Runner. Of course it is, right? So many people are worried about SRIs these days. Should people be worried about drinking water? Drinking water that has been tainted with chemicals passing through water treatment facilities. Wow.
water facilities. Well, I don't know. I mean, that's kind of up to the individuals. I don't know what to say to that because I don't drink those I don't drink water from those spaces, and I won't. But I'm also a long-term cancer patient, so I don't do a lot of things other people do, like I wouldn't eat processed meats or things like along those lines, or any really highly processed foods, because anything that's processed, anything that goes through any kind of chemical treatment, is not something that works for my health at this moment in time. So, you know, I think people have to kind of make their own choices there. Did I answer that question, Dave? I don't know. I think you did.
Well, I think your answer is limited based off of your expertise.
I don't really know what to say there. I think that don't drink the water.
Definitely don't drink the Kool-Aid. Oh, wait, not that Kool-Aid. Normal Kool-Aid is perfectly fine in a reputable product. I guess it depends on who's pouring it.
Well, I would say, if you want to know, the Fiji water is, like, really great, and so is Evian. They both can restore pH. So, you know, if you're spending money on all kinds of stuff, instead of buying soda, instead of buying sugary juices, invest in some really high-quality water. High-quality H2O. Now we're moving into the pop culture arena.
When you said high-quality H2O, all I seen was Adam Sandler in my head. And that totally almost just took this off the rails.
We're really going all over the place tonight, but that's okay.
That's what we do around here is with you, because you can go all over the place.
Maybe, that's true. ADHD has its benefits. Okay.
Yeah. I don't even remember what we're talking about now. All I hear is tap it in. More Adam Sandler. I don't know.
It's such a funny movie. It really is.
And you know what's even worse?
Foosball is the devil.
and then we'll parlay it to another sports movie, which is I send Bill Murray to a couple people to remind them about the show on Tuesday because of Groundhog Day. So I kind of send Bill Murray because, you know, different Bill Murray, because it used to be Bill and the Groundhog, and then it kind of got tiresome. So he's, you know, been around forever.
Well,
so there's a lot of...
Well, don't forget about Andie McDowell. She was a really big part of that film.
Which is disappointing because they filmed that film in Kansas, not the real Punxsutawney. Which I can't blame them, having been to the real Punxsutawney, because it is not.
Jim, don't say things like that. You're going to make me laugh. I've been there too. I hear you.
Watch this. We're going to spin this right back around. I'm going to jump right back in topic here. It feels like societies everywhere are on the razor's edge, and he mentioned, what can we do as an individual to help culture step back away from the abyss?
Well, the first thing you can do is listen to my podcast, How to Be a Better Sociopath. Every week I have a new episode, and I actually tell you what to do. There's different exercises that can help you not only identify other people and the traits that could be very socially destructive to you, because what happens when you're dealing with people that have cluster B personality disorders is that they will try to isolate you in some way, generally speaking. And from your family, from your friends, creating problems with those people. There's a lot of shadowy behavior. It's actually called shadow work in psychology when you need to do the shadow work, when you need to recognize that you have some disconnects there. And these are some of them, like stalking a partner, a friend, a family member online, a partner looking at your miles on your car because they don't trust you, you know, like this kind of hyper paranoia, all based on insecurity. So they will just really basically drive you mad with their need to create supply. That's what they need. That's what they want. So how you can do it, like basically deal with it, not do it. Okay. Yeah, you can deal with this is by recognizing these traits, not just in other people, but in yourself, via that higher contact with technology. We're all much more entitled today. I stood at the, in front of the microwave for 30 seconds today, not in front of it, but to the side. I used the microwave for 30 seconds, and I was like, oh, it's taking forever. You know, 30 seconds is not forever, but from the perspective of a 21st century person, it's like, God, it's taking so long for this soup to heat up. But it's not, you know, so, you know, it's that kind of thinking. It's just the entitlement of being able to open an app on your phone and tap it, and in about 2 to 3 seconds, purchasing something from Amazon and having it at your house within 24 hours, that breeds a massive sense of entitlement. That's part of narcissistic personality disorder. I don't have that. You don't have that. Nobody has that because we order from Amazon and expect our food to heat up quicker than 30 seconds, which is incredibly fast. But we just are part of a cultural shift toward narcissism. And technology actually is part of the disconnect because it does create space. As much as it connects us, it creates space, like that anonymity aspect in terms of cyberbullying and cyberstalking. I mean, you hide behind, it's basically a mask. Like we were talking about, you can create whole artificial environments and pretend. It's like, and narcissism and other cluster B personality disorders and traits are all about upholding the mask. Going back to the neighbor analogy, where, you know, the narcissist wants the neighbor to think that everything is amazing and perfect and great, that they are amazing and perfect and great. That's a mask because we're all human. None of us are perfect, amazing, and great. I mean, we might be, but, you know, we're flawed as well. And when we can't acknowledge those flaws, when we're the people that say they're people pleasers or that they're perfectionists, beware of those kinds of thinking, that kind of thinking, those kinds of traits, because that's bordering on some narcissism there. Yeah.
So, here we go. Germantown Runner wants me to ask you some pop culture stuff. So, before we get into that, because I look at the time and I'm like, oh, good God. You've mentioned the
Everybody is like, it's just Dave. Is it just Dave?
No, he's there. He's just pumping them, and everybody else is just kind of applauding, like, yay, good stuff. Which sometimes happens because, you know, it's hard to come up with something better than what Dave comes up with.
It's true. We love you, Dave.
You've mentioned the podcast a couple times. Give the name for that again, and then your website, and, you know, just give me all that stuff before we, because like I said, we're going to run out of time, and I won't have time at the end of the show if I don't do it now. So,
okay, that sounds good. Yeah, people can find my work on Psychology Today. I have a column called Survive Anything, and they can also listen to my podcast so far just on Spotify because I just haven't had time to upload it anywhere else. But it's just one person. But it is called How to Be a Better Sociopath, and then I have another one called Let's Talk that discusses these macro frameworks within our culture, these sociopolitical, sociocultural, and socioeconomic, and how they're all intertwined and how they affect us on, like, from those macro frameworks in our micro lives and those micro spheres, our relationships, one-to-one relationships, as well as, like, our relationships with organizations, as individuals, like government and healthcare systems and stuff like that. So, you know, they're kind of hopefully helpful. I don't know. I think so. So far, it looks like people are listening. So,
well, it only takes one to make it worth it, I think, but that's just me. But that's a whole different can of worms. So I'm going to twist his question that he wanted me to ask you, because I think we've talked about this before, and the answer hasn't changed, I'm sure, about when is Hollywood going to turn to be more creative. But are we going to start seeing, I mean, I think eventually, maybe I'm wrong, maybe you want to correct me real quick here, but I think we're going to have, another, like, because, you know, the Silicon Valley became this place for technology, right? Uh-huh. And that necessarily wasn't there, but it kind of just became there. I think at some point we're going to have a place where, I don't want to say YouTubers, but B-list filmmakers, YouTubers, videographers, documentarians all kind of just collide. Maybe it isn't really even a space, so to speak, like a physical Silicon Valley place, but maybe it's a website or an app or something, and they just push their content through that. And I know people are like, YouTube, you dumbass, but I'm talking something else. Something more structured for them, where they get the money and, you know, like, they control the end game. And there's
I think that you're right. I think you're thinking about like a variation between YouTube and like Netflix, you know, but where the person is the creator. I think that there's a space there. Yeah, that's a good, actually, it's kind of brilliant. Yeah. Get going.
Get going. We need we need a name and $100 million. no, but
I don't even need $100 million.
But well, when you pay the CEO $100 million, you need $100 million. no, but I think there's this disconnect now, and I've seen it kind of forming in the podcast space too, where you've got the national brand name shows, you know, and the radio shows that are getting ripped off, and then there's this middle ground of people who do good stuff and are kind of floating. I guess I kind of feel like I'm in that category where somebody's going to come in and start gobbling that stuff up and packaging it to compete with that other stuff. And I think that's going to happen on the video side of stuff too, because I think, you know, like Netflix is great. They create a bunch of shows, but at the end of the day, people's favorite shows are always getting canceled. And, you know, like at some level, some people just want to have that buy-in where they, you know, like GoFundMe, but maybe not for birthday parties, but maybe for keeping that TV show alive in some level. I don't know. There's something here.
Yeah.
Because
I think so.
Germantown
the
Runners.
Is very hot. Yep.
Germantown's Runners question was originally, when do we get to the end of the superhero pipeline and get back to actual storytelling?
Yeah, Dave, I hear that. I just saw the new Thor film, and I was not super impressed. And there's going to be an Aquaman coming out, Avatar 2. There's a whole host of Guardians of the Galaxies that are en route, Harry Potter. These are all old now, rather canned storylines that are played out. I saw the Dumbledore film over the summer, and it was just not good. I'm sorry if you're a fan of Harry Potter. There's been better Harry Potter movies, and even if you disagree with me, you can at least agree on that point, because that was not good.
Well, every time you make a movie, right? Well, I love pie. I'm sure you're surprised by that. But every time you cut another piece of that original pie, right, it gets smaller and smaller. And eventually you get down to the point where you can't pick the piece up anymore because you've just broken it up and cut into little crumbs. And the original product is out the window.
Yeah, no, it's very true. It's actually a physics problem. You just move halfway and halfway and halfway, and you actually never get there because there's no end to the halfway point. So you're totally right. I think that it's played out, and there was a whole at the beginning of the pandemic. I don't know how many people remember this, but there were all these really really bad like Hallmark type movies coming out everywhere, and there was a movie that played in theaters and like at drive-ins during the pandemic. It was, I can't think of the name of it now, but it had the guy from Brooklyn Nine. I'm really blanking on him. He was Andy's something. He's an SNL person. I'm so sorry because like I do know him and I just cannot think of his name. I haven't eaten yet today, so. I'm a little bit running on empty because I've had client after client after client today. So, I don't know. I can't remember his name, but it's like Brooklyn
99.
Maybe is that's like this guy that was on SNL. God damn it! Anyway, I can't think of it. Everybody, so sorry. I totally apologize because I really like him. He's very funny. But he was like in a film and it was this really bad one that's the kind of quality. And like things like New Mutants came out during that same stretch of time earlier in the pandemic. I think it was the summer or early fall, maybe of 2020. It was like a movie that had been in process prior to the pandemic, and then pandemic happened. And then this really awful movie came out that was supposed to be great. And it was disappointing for people like me who wrote about X-Men.
And here we go. This is why we do live shows, because Geo Observation popped it out there. Andy Samberg.
Thank you. I wasn't confident enough to say it. I just couldn't like quite wrap my brain around it. Thank you.
There you
go. Thank you. Whoever said that. Thank
you. Geo-observation. He's pretty good. And I don't, oh, I got to look. He posts these weird images in the chat room, so we got to see what he's got. He's got the Marine Mammal Center. Where is that from? Tell me more about the mug. If you've already told people, tell me again, because I wasn't paying attention. He posts these coffee mugs that he has in his collection on his little avatar. It's pretty cool. He's got quite the collection of coffee mugs. I should be a little concerned, but...
well, it is a very collectible thing. Coffee mugs. And useful. Practical, too.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a coffee mug on my table right now from Kat Ward, who hosts the Paranormal Heart. And, yeah. Holds my pens. That's about the best I can do with it. Cause, yeah. I'm afraid of breaking it, actually, because, you know, that's just me, because I have that trait.
that is like a genetic trait, yeah. Dropsy.
Germantown Runner is infatuated with Elon Musk, so I want to ask you about him. And all,
okay.
We are all
over the map tonight.
I know, right?
His mental health, like?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily his mental health. I mean, obviously there are some angles to all that, how that plays into his business and always and going, right? But how do we take him? Because sometimes he seems so meme and trying to be edgy and funny, and then he's also this brilliant business mind, but... And on the other hand, like I said, it seems so disconnected at times. So is it that he's trying too hard on one hand to be the funny guy and the uber smart business person, or what? What am I missing here?
I'm not sure what you're missing, but I can tell you that he's very, Elon Musk has a lot to be egotistical about, and there's a lot riding on the things that he does. So he has to be right, and he has the money to buy himself into any position he wants. So, you know, he comes from a specific family. I don't know how much you guys know about his background, but he comes from a family where his mom is actually this wonderful, like, female spokesperson. She's a model. He and his siblings are all really successful as a result of the parents that they had and the upbringing that they had. So, their talents were nurtured and they were recognized, and they had financial and emotional and psychological support, as well as the physical things that we all need. So when we have that kind of a start, it's not like anybody can be him, you know, but it's easier to be successful. So he has like a lot of interesting traits that I think could be really, we could talk about for a long time, but I think overall there's some egotistical aspects to him. He's very brilliant, of course, but that doesn't mean that he doesn't have some cluster B traits that should be taken into account when we listen to him talk.
Well, see, you were wondering. You said we're all over the place, but here we go. I'm going to put this in a tight little bow, even though we've got a few more minutes left, and we'll probably wander somewhere else. We started with community, kind of dabbled in the movies in Hollywood, kind of broke into a person. You mentioned his parents, so that brings us back to community and family. See, it all kind of flew together. See?
I don't know if it did, but...
when you hear it explained like that, it makes sense, doesn't it?
The
six degrees of Kevin Bacon, right?
Oh yeah, well that's the case for me because I do know it kind of way too much stuff, but I read a lot and it's been 2 years of a pandemic, so I've not been like out and about. Although I hope that changes, you know, as we kind of move into what I hope will be endemic stages. I think we're kind of heading in that direction.
And see, I just threw us back off track with the 7 or 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. See, I just kind of,
no,
I did this great explanation. And
Kevin Bacon, yeah. No, I mean, let's go back to Footloose. Why not? Why not go all the way back? He plays like a really good psycho. Speaking of X-Men, he was in one of the X-Men film franchises as like a total psycho. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it actually does tie in with what we were talking about earlier in terms of cluster Bs. And some other project that I'm doing, which I won't talk about right now, but I'll come back at some point to talk about it if you invite me back.
Oh, you know you're always welcome around here.
Well, I love coming on because, you know, my gosh, it's we were just talking today about how we met 10 years ago.
We don't talk about that anymore. What's that? That's that song. We don't talk about Bruno. We don't talk about how in love we know each other.
I know, because then it ages us. But really, I'm much older than you. I know that for a fact. Like much, much older.
Well, that's why we shouldn't be talking about that, right?
Why? Why not? Why? I can't lie about my age because of the other work that I've done as a pop culture professor. Even though I'm not doing that now. Someone somewhere put up the wrong birth date, by the way, but my birth date is there. It's the wrong birth date, but it's online. You pull up my name and it's right there. So I can't lie about my age anymore, Jim.
Yeah. Well, you've known me for 10 years, so that makes you about 25 years old.
No, definitely. I'm late 40s, but I looks like I'm 50 on the internet, so it's close enough. We'll say 50.
Well, at least we'll
just go with it.
At least, you know, well, could be worse.
No, it's not bad at all. 50 is the new 30. I don't even look different. It's ridiculous. They haven't changed my license picture since I was 21. I've not changed much. So
oh, well, get
people,
out of here.
You know,
aren't you lucky?
Yeah, no.
Pennsylvania, I have to go get one taken here for my next birthday, which is coming up rapidly.
Oh, see, I've gone in and I've said, hey, do you want to take it? They're like, no, you look the same. I'm like, okay. It's literally the same picture. I was 21 in that picture. Yep.
Nope,
not
a choice.
Joke.
They make me take one.
Well,
and they'll snap three or four of them, and they'll be like, which one do you like? I'm like, well, probably the one with my eyes open is probably the one you're going to make me take. He's like, oh, yeah. Because, you know, they have the flash that's about the bright as the sun for whatever reason.
I know. I always close my eyes, too. It's terrible. I hate taking, like, those photos. For passports and stuff like that. God, it's just the worst. No, I never look good. In my passport photo, I literally look like an Oompa Loompa from a fictional film. I look completely orange, and I'm like, why am I orange? I really look terrible. It's awful. But nobody seems to notice or care because they're not even looking. Oops, did I just spill a TSA secret?
Well, you better be careful, because, you know, they're probably listening.
No, I'm a known traveler, so I have that. That's why they don't even look, because I've got that TSA pre-approval thing.
Uh-huh.
Well, it helps you move through.
Now that the boys at the DOD have been listening, now you're in trouble. Waves to a lot of my friends at the Pentagon, calling you friends, because I know you are. I don't have any government secrets, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to reveal any either.
No, I'm just trying to make the world a little bit better day by day.
So, okay, so now we've got to get into a little rapid fire here from Germantown Runner and some others here. There are some others who want me to poke some random stuff at you here, so let's get to it. what's in your garden this year?
What's in my garden this year? Well, outside of the beautiful herbs that I've planted, I just love the holy basil. Holy basil is something that actually was, with COVID, this is part of Ayurvedic medicine. If you use holy basil and use some lemon and some ginger, you can make a beautiful tea. And that can help with your immune system. It can also possibly help with allergies. Of course, always talk to your doctor before doing anything like that. But holy basil is in my garden. I've got some dill. I've got some, no rosemary this year because I don't know why. I just don't have any. But I've been growing some mint, a few different varieties of mint. These are all, by the way, basil, mint. They're all kind of, they're all from the same sort of plant family, and they're all anticoagulants. So that's good when we think about some of the side effects of certain vaccinations, et cetera, when it comes to COVID and some of the issues that COVID can cause long-term issues. So, like blood clots.
So, fun fact for you. That sounded so bad. Walmart sells the little mint plants already. You know, they're in there, right? They're in Walmart. They're still green, right? Come on now. How hard can this be to grow?
Oh, mint is super easy to grow. Yeah. No,
I've killed it twice now.
Oh, was I supposed to laugh at that?
It's super easy to grow. Yeah, about that. apparently not.
I have like three varieties of mints, okay? And your listeners should know that I bought these little mint sprigs from the store and put them in a glass of water, and then they started growing roots. And then the roots became like a root ball, and it actually became a plant. So
yeah,
I'd like to see.
Meanwhile, I've already got the planted thing in a little pot that's been sitting in Walmart for who knows weeks without water or attention or sunlight or anything. I bring it home and can kill
possible.
It pretty quick.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not really a plant person, but that's what's in my garden. What's in your garden, Dave?
Well, I have green peppers and tomatoes in mine. We'll have to see
what
he has in his, because that's stuff I eat. So that's kind of why we have. I plant that stuff. So he wants to know numbers to watch. While we wait for his door.
I'm sorry.
Numbers.
What numbers?
Random numbers. I don't know. He probably wants the lottery numbers. I don't know.
Oh, you want the lottery numbers? Okay, here you go. 7, 13, 28, 32, 57, and 63. I don't know.
Oh, numerology. No. Numerology. Oh, sorry.
Oh, numerology. Okay, so the numerology of this year. Thank you, Dave. That's a great question. The numerology of this year. Oh, there's so much to tell you about. 2022 is Ascended Master Builders. And with the zero, you have the help of the divine. Right now, actually, Dave, outside of numerology in terms of what's actually happening with the planets above us right now, there's this conjunction, which means two planets within at least 10 degrees of each other between Mars and the North Node. And it's going to become a triple conjunction on July 31, which happens to be International Orgasm Day. So I have dubbed this triple conjunction a cosmic threesome. And that's happening between Uranus, Mars, and the North Node of the Moon. Be careful. Big, big change. The last time this happened was 324 BC, within 1 degree of this, in the same sign and everything. So Alexander the Great changed the world at that time. Who knows what's going to happen now? But you heard it here first.
So I've got one more question. This one comes from Geo Observation again. This one is always a staple. It's been a staple around here for the last couple months, and I love it. What's your favorite breakfast?
My favorite breakfast? Oh, you know, this is so, so bad. But my favorite breakfast is, I'm not sure what to say here, but I'm just going to say I do like grits a lot. And I use like Faya yogurt. I make my grits from scratch. I don't grind the corn, but I use these organic. It's really polenta, okay? So you can use any kind of ground corn product, and I use like the slow cook kind, and I put some Faya yogurt in there, which has a lot of protein, and some almond milk, and yum. That's my favorite breakfast right now.
So Cat Ward pipes in the chat room, got to ask the pineapple on pizza question.
Pineapple on pizza. Hey, did you watch Umbrella Academy?
No.
Did I just give something away? Okay, because that's in there. That's an interesting question. No, of course we don't have pineapple on pizza. Pineapple is a garnish.
Oh, a whole bunch of clicks just happened right there. Oh, I'm just kidding. No, hey. all kidding aside, boy, we have a minute left, so I got to be mindful of that. I looked at the clock and had this little funny countdown timer, and I'm like, oh, no.
I've enjoyed it, Jim. Thanks so much.
Thank you for hopping on, and thank you for the information this afternoon and this evening and all the fun stuff. So,
we've had a good time. I look forward to seeing you guys again. Thanks so much to your listeners as well. Great questions, everybody.
So, all right. So I'll throw you off here, and I'll end the show here in 10 seconds anyway. So have a good night.
You too. Thanks, Jim. Bye, everybody.
So there we go. A little slow to start the show. A little technical difficulties. I don't know. We'll figure that out one of these days. So, everybody, I think we had another fun night. Be good to each other, right? That's what we need to be. Better to each other.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report.
Hey, I want to thank you for joining us. It's been a good show tonight. I hope you enjoyed it. Take a few moments, subscribe, share, all the fun stuff. You know how to do it. I don't have to tell you. Just be ready for next week. It'll be sooner than you think.
Hit Pass Moto, sponsored by Moto America, is the show that keeps you up to speed on the latest in motorcycling and brings the biggest names in motorcycle racing right to you. From candid interviews with the top names in racing to providing insights into the trends and trendsetters driving the motorcycle industry, we have you covered. New episodes are available every Thursday at pitpassmoto.com and on your favorite podcast app. Ride on.